Good morning, Monday, July 20th, 2020. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. I am Tom. Hope all is well. Great weekend, hotter than Haiti. A lot of drama still going on with COVID-19. Trying to figure out really, you know, what is happiness? So many people have, I don't know, it's just something that I've been trying to figure out at 50 years old. What is happiness? Dave Matthews, Last Stop. I love that song. It's funny, I'll play music. I don't even know if I'm allowed to. I probably am not, but whatever. It's no sponsors, so who are they going to do? Come after me. Attack my sponsors? but it's funny, I'll play a song, and the songs just like open up my mind to thinking and reflecting and... It's crazy how music does that. I know it does it for me. I'm sure it does it for everybody, but it is, it's pretty cool. So, good morning. Like I said, Monday. What is happiness? It's a great question. It's like there's so many different things going on in the world right now, and, you know, I'm picking and choosing the things that I want to watch. You know, but it's always kind of that same theme, and it seems like it's been that same theme ever since I was a kid. You know, money, success is happiness at any cost. And you know, it's a strange goal to. I mean, I know not having money is not happy. I mean, if you don't have any money, life is definitely more of a challenge. If even doable, I don't even know. I mean, I've had some moments when I've been broke, but, you know, my dad usually would bail me out a little here or there. So I've never really suffered without money. But my mom is a kid. You need to grow up and make big bucks, Tommy. Big bucks. I've said that before. I can never shake that memory. Big bucks. That's happiness. And that was coming from a lady that never had any money, that grew up so poor. So her message to me was always, money is the answer. Success is the answer. You know, I was talking to my dad, you know, we're, you know, every time I have a, you know, my dad, you know, we've had, my mom had to go into an assisted living place, so my dad's kind of by himself, you know, after whatever, 50 plus years of being married, my dad is now on his own. So we have him over, and my dad is, you know, he's 82. He comes from a different generation. He's military, Republican. So it's interesting the conversations that we have. But what's also interesting is how close-minded he is, and that through conversation, how his mind opens a little bit. You know, this whole Black Lives Matter and, you know, the COVID and the pandemic and, you know, the lack of patience in people. And, you know, it's very, very challenging time right now. And I told my father, I said, you know, I wonder, you know, clearly, you know, people are being treated poorly by the police. That's, you know, we figured that out. You know, there's a lot of people that are treated well by the police, but there's definitely some people that are treated poorly. We got it. But what I feel, and through watching other people, that Andrew Yang, he made a lot of great points. He was a presidential candidate who dropped out, but his idea of, you know, this universal basic income, giving everybody $1,000. And I think the question was why, you know, it's going to create this feeling like work is not as important because if you're getting this free money. And his philosophy, and I've heard it several times, part of the problem that we're having right now is just everybody's fucking poor. We're just all broke. You know, we live, I know, I can only speak for myself, you know, I grow up and I see, you know, what others have. I like that car. Oh, geez, I like that car. I like that house. You know, if I wanted to buy a big house, to me, automatically it has to be really big and exclusive, like a big, giant, expensive house. Like, oh, that's where automatically. It's almost like a lazy thought. It's like a pre-programmed to me lazy thought. Like, oh, we need to buy a house, big, exclusive house. Why? Because I see it on TV. I've seen it in movies. And now I see it in social media. You know, you see these guys on, you know, Instagram or YouTube, and they have these huge channels with huge followings, and they basically hang out in a big mansion, and I'm sure that they create the revenue through the channel to rent the house, but it puts off this appearance like that's happiness, laying around a pool with a bunch of supermodels and a giant house. Now, granted, you know, I'm sure that has its positives, but, you know, we don't see the behind the scenes. You know, those situations or those, you know, things that they're promoting is kind of created just for that, just for the channel. People have interest in it. They watch it. They create revenue. They make more money. You know, you don't create a YouTube channel and sit around with a bunch of, you know, broke people sitting in a broken down house. Nobody cares about that. We all care about what it's like to be rich because that's happiness. The problem is that a big portion of us can't live like that. A huge portion of us can't live like that. But we see it. So that's what our benchmark is. That's the bar. So you work, you know, you have your job, whatever it is, a normal, you know, basically a normal sort of job where you make a normal amount of money. Not a lot. You're not broke, but you're surviving. But we still see this lifestyle that there's people around us that are living. You don't know how they got it. You don't know what dropped into their lap. You don't know how hard they worked. They may have worked amazingly hard. But you see it, and you want it. And what's happening, you know, right now, and what's been happening, and I can speak for myself as well, is that I can take my income and I can get me so far towards that goal. But then sometimes you'll take a credit card to finish out the process, to reach the goal. And this guy was saying, you know, the biggest problem that we have today is that we are all broke, we're not saving money, and we're living on credit. And I'm not broke. I always say I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. Because if you'd have seen me 25 years ago, I was piss poor broke. And now I have a job. I got sober. I have a job. I have a wife. I have kids. We have a little house. I have a job, my own business. We don't make a lot of money, but damn it, where I was at, I'm a millionaire. And I'm really not, but you get my drift. But, you know, I want to be like the next guy. You know, I want to drive the fancy car. And what's happened is a lot of people are using that, filling that last stretch with credit. And this guy I was watching the other night, he was saying that, you know, this whole COVID-19, we should have never given out bailout money. Every business, every person should have been able to withstand or hold, what would be the right word, survive a 2-3-4 month shutdown, 2 month shutdown. We should have all had enough money saved that we could have survived it. But the government gave out all this money. And listen, at the time, you know, at the time, it seemed like the right thing to do. Nobody knew how this was going to go, right? But looking back now, people are saying that we should have never given out that money. Because now inflation's going to show up. And everything's going to become so expensive, we're not going to afford it. And we're going to just basically have to sit at home and save our money anyway. You can either say, hey, you know, my dad, and it's funny because my mom was always like, make big bucks. My dad's always been, save your money. Don't use a credit card. Save your money. Don't use a credit card. He's from that, you know, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, that middle class. You know, they talk about during World War II, I guess it was around, you know, in the early, mid 40s, you know, we sent a lot of people off to war. You know, the people that were coming in, buying pizzas, buying shoes, you know, visiting your local stores had gone off to war. But we didn't supplement their income. The government didn't supplement their income. You know, we had saved money. We could make it. And not only, and I don't know if I said this in the podcast the other day, but then the government asked us to buy war bonds. They borrowed money from us. But today, a lot of people, including myself, well, I could have made it. I just didn't know what we were headed towards. I remember I was talking to somebody this morning about when I went to the grocery store one day early in maybe late March, early April, and there was like really no food. There was no peanut butter, no bread, no bananas. It was like every time you go to the grocery store, there must be a shitload of bananas. And I remember that time we went in, there wasn't one banana. And I thought, oh, this is like bizarre. This is a little scary. But, you know, for the most part, we're back to work. I mean, restaurants and, I mean, they're, you know, doing takeout. I can't speak on every situation across the United States. I know that, you know, I have my studios next to a restaurant. They put a tent outside. They're, you know, they're not doing what they were doing, but they're working. They're making money. But they're saying we should have been able to survive. And the weird thing is that a lot of people took money that shouldn't have. Like, does that say something about our country or people in general? I don't know. But, you know, one thing that getting sober taught me was that money and success are not happiness. They are the beginning, the bed of trouble. And, you know, I've always thought if I'm sober, if I'm not drinking and I'm not drugging, I have a chance to do anything I want. If I show up for my job and I give a hard day's work, I will create revenue. And then it's up to me to figure out how to live inside that revenue. Now, I do a pretty good job, but we do have some credit card debt. You know, it catches up to you. I've been trying to focus on getting rid of it. It's not a lot, $5,000 I think I have in debt. I mean, it's not bad, but it was up to 10. You know, it just snuck up on me. But what I'm realizing is it's not happiness. And what is happiness? I don't even, it's, you know, I get, the beginning I think is not having debt. That's definitely makes, from 10 to 5 has made me a little bit happier. You know, being sober. You You know, when I was thinking about this earlier, you know, I got sober the first day, I fixed the drinking problem. But everything after that is really, it's just all human problems. You know, those 12 steps are about addressing, you know, how I handle life. And exposing, you know, my desire to want to be something other than I'm not, through whether it's clothing or money or style or, you know, whatever it is, I want to appear better than I am. And that's it's a bumpy, rocky road, and it can be lined with misery. Recognizing that is the first step to happiness for me. Surrendering that stuff. You know, I'm 51. I'm going to be 52 in September. I feel like I'm starting to finally mature. You know, like if I was a piece of fruit, you know, I feel like I'm starting to mature and realize that what I thought was important is not, and what I didn't think was that important is very important. You know, and I wonder, you know, does a country mature? You know, I feel like we're coming out of this, or we're right in the middle of this period where we found out, hey, we can use credit cards. You know, and this COVID-19 thing is really exposing how a lot of people are in debt, unhappy. And that's what's creating a lot of our problems. And, you know, I'm also full of shit sometimes. So I'm just trying to think about share some of the things that I've been thinking about. Because I know for me at 50, I feel like I'm starting to mature, but, and then what happens, you know, 50s and your 60s, and then what, you start to kind of spoil? You know, you've seen it all, you've heard it all. You know, I was watching this thing, I sent a clip to my dad, he's like, that guy's up full of shit. You know, he's so, you know, miserable, and, you know, and I'm like, Dad, it's, you know, you pick and choose. You listen to something. You find the things that you like. If whatever you don't like, you leave the rest, right? You know, he didn't like the fact the guy was drinking a glass of scotch, when in turn he was just kind of cheersing the guy he was having a conversation with. It wasn't about the scotch, but that's what grabbed my dad, and then he was done. I'm not watching this shit. I go, listen, how many conversations have you had in your life where it was over a glass of scotch? Hundreds. You know, my dad was a big drinker. He doesn't drink anymore for health reasons, not because he wanted to be sober, because he, you know, it was killing him. I'm like, how many conversations have you had over a glass of scotch that were fine? You know, but you want to find that and then get all upset and shut it off and, you know, miss out on all the, whether it's good or bad information, but just things, you know, to hear and learn and opinions. He's kind of spoiled. And I don't mean like, I mean, he's just kind of, his fruit's getting bad. And, you know, is that, I guess it's where we all head, right? You know, is that our kind of our timeline? Is that where this nation, is that what the United States is headed to? Or are we like, you know, we're still young. I've been watching that, The Men Who Built America, you know, the kind of guys, the kind of men that built this country were a rough crew, a tough crew. I watch it in amazement. I'm like, could I have done this? Could I have chopped down trees, stripped the trees, carried them up, built a giant wall all day? Hell no. You know, I'll do this, I'll do a few things today, and I'll probably have to take a nap later. it's what I become, you know. But this country is, I mean, it feels like we're growing through some growing pains. A lot of bad behavior, like a kid, you know, we're starting to get, you know, now we're like becoming like that early teenager who gets his first credit card. And we're spending and we're spending. And we're giving out money. But we're getting ready to open that first bill. And I remember it. It's kind of like my life, you know. I was a bad behavior young, you know, trying to fix some of that early. And then I got a credit card. And my dad's like, you know, let's try to build some credit. And I was like, I'm in. And I got what I wanted. I bought it. I made the first payment. Second payment came along. Didn't have the money. Didn't have the money. My dad bailed me out. But who's going to bail us out? You know, this guy was talking the other night. And he's like, you know, we're gonna get to a point. We're going to have inflation. The value of this dollar is going to drop. At some point, if we keep up at this rate, our dollar isn't going to have any value. We're all going to work a day's worth or a week or 2 weeks worth of work. We're going to get a paycheck and we're not going to be able to spend it because nobody's going to want our money. Because we've given out so much. We've printed so much. And then we're going to really be in a shit storm. I think that's what happened to Greece. The value of their money just fell through the floor. This guy said that all the businesses that took money are probably going to end up closing anyway. Because when inflation comes, because something's going to get that money back. Somebody's going to get that. Somehow we're going to get that money back. Whether it's raising, you know, if you pay $7 for a hamburger and now it's $10. I've already seen it. There's a restaurant real close to me. I paid $10 for a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich on a bagel. $10. I think before it was maybe $6, $7. It went up $3 or $4. They had to inflate the price of that burger so they can get that money back, which in turn they pay more taxes on. So what they've done is they've really created a tax increase. But I tell you what, I'm not going to go buy a burger there anymore. I would have bought a burger there probably once a week. I would visit that store probably every other day, whether it's buying a breakfast sandwich, buying, they make these amazing tacos. I'm really sad about that. But they make great food. But when I paid $10 for a bacon, egg, and cheese on a bagel, I said, that's it. I'm not going back. No offense. I love you, but I'm not going back. I can't afford that. Here comes inflation. This guy said, we're going to eventually be forced to save our money. Kind of like a teenager, you know? It's crazy. But I know one thing. I'm super, super, super grateful that I am sober today. You know, I hear all the bad stories. You know, a friend of mine whose friend had been in, you know, gone in rehab, and the whole story stunk to high heaven. As far as I was concerned, it reminded me of the first time I tried to get sober. I never wanted to get sober. And this person, she's like, oh, yeah, they did an intervention, and they read one letter, and she said, I'll go. She said, I'll go get sober to avoid hearing these letters, to avoid the shame and guilt. I can relate to that. I mean, I went and got sober. The day I went and got sober is because I got stitches, and I didn't want to explain to these guys I worked with, how come I got my ass kicked again. So I chose sobriety, or at least ducking out and acting like I'm getting sober over explanation. And it felt like that's what this person did, you know? I'll go. Just get off my back. And off she went. Did her 4 weeks, came out, already drinking. Shocker. I would say, you want to get sober? If you really want to get sober, it is not hard. If you want to act like you want to get sober to take the heat off, if you want to shuck and jive and avoid the conversation and then try to pick up your drinking and hide it a little better next time, you know, it's a mess. And I think that's what people do. AA doesn't work. I remember when I was trying not to get sober, but I would go to these meetings. AA doesn't work. I didn't want to get sober. But if you want to get sober, nothing can stop you. You'll go to 100 meetings. You'll get a sponsor. You'll work the steps. You'll want it. But if you don't want to get sober, you just want the heat off, it doesn't work. And but the part of the problem is, like I told her before, you can't continue to be part of her audience. You can't do all this, not go get sober, come out and drink, and expect that everybody's going to be sticking by you. And if you do, then that, you have to start taking a look at yourself, right? Start trying to figure out what's the matter with me that keeps me in this conversation, this relationship, trying to fix this person. What is it about me? I told her the other day, that's why they made Al-Anon. You know, to help the people that have been helping the people. You know, and this friend of mine, she's been this person that this person's been able to talk to and boohoo to, and she's been all, you know, it's going to be okay. She's part of, it's her audience. Just grateful today that I'm sober. You know, I haven't been to a meeting in a while, definitely since COVID started. I haven't been to a meeting. There's some Zoom meetings. I didn't want to go, and then I was going to this Wednesday morning meeting, and they're doing a Zoom meeting, but it's been tough because I've been doing other stuff. And I have a ton of friends, though, that are sober, so I'm constantly checking in. I was struggling a bit with meetings prior to COVID even starting. You know, I get cynical. This guy will never make it. You know, I think it's just the path that happens for us, happens for me. I'm good. It's happened before. I'm ready to get back. I rode bikes with my buddy James this morning, both of us sober. He's got like 26 years. And I told him, you know, I'm ready. I need to get, and I miss going to a meeting. So I'm looking forward to meetings coming back. I'm grateful today that I'm happy, you know. And happy doesn't mean that I'm getting everything I want. But happy to me is a place where it's pretty serene. You know, I'm not consumed by self all the time. When I'm uncomfortable, unhappy, it doesn't take a big effort to figure out what my problem is. It's usually I'm not getting something that I want. That's usually my problem. I want something and I'm not getting it. And the gift of being able to recognize that makes me happy. I mean, seriously. You know, I just feel so blessed today. So blessed. I have such a wonderful family and I'm just so lucky. And it's all because I'm sober. I hope everyone's having a great day. It is a, you know, it's another day. Hopefully we haven't had to apologize to anybody, and hopefully we've been able to, you know, stay out of trouble and just enjoy and hang in there. And I will talk to you later. Peace. So righteous, we're always so right, so wide. love the horns in this. Fucking is so sweet. Extended version. Extended podcast today.
Trouble outside. I'm in from the cold for now. Everything's gonna be alright.
your right side now. Everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.
Everything's gonna be alright. There it is. Dave said so. Hope everyone has a great day. Catch you later.